Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We started a series last week on joy. Brother Tessinier handed me this tonight, and it's excellent. I had forgotten about this, but it's a definition. Joy is not so much an emotional experience, but an abiding happiness that naturally flows out of a right relationship with God. It does not come as the result of external circumstances, but it is a choice I can make in every situation. Pastor Shrett gave us that at a family camp about 12 years ago. That particular family camp was unique because the whole weekend was on joy, and it probably rained the hardest and had the worst storms that we had at a family camp. So we needed to apply that pretty consistently, but that's an excellent definition. We talked last week about what the Word of God had to say about joy, the fact that it is something that God wants us to have. We asked the question, can someone laugh and not truly be happy? And the answer to that is yes, they can. Can we be joyful and it not show on our face? The show of thy countenance doth witness against thee. And we talked a little bit about those things, gave you some definitions. We talked about, is it necessary to have joy? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it is a command God has given us to be joyful. The Bible also tells us that it should continue. Our joy should continue on and on. We asked the question, when should there be joy? We talked about in celebrations and feasts and things of that nature. In conquest, when we're able to celebrate victories in particular opportunities. In completion, that is the completion of the temple, specifically, and in other things that are having completion. We can have joy in Christ. Now, we mentioned that in Psalm 16 and verse 11 and Psalms 43 and verse 4. We talked about having joy in the castle, that is, in Christ, our place of safety or protection. Then we mentioned that joy could come in compliance both to the Word of God and to the authorities that God has placed over our lives. And then probably the most difficult one that we talked about last week is that we can have joy in calamity, those difficulties that come, and we can choose to have joy because God has told us to. In James 1:2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various types of temptations. Tonight, we're going to ask a number of other questions and try to answer them. And the first one is, how should joy be demonstrated? How should joy be demonstrated? It'll be the first question. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Your goodness to us. And thank You for bringing us together here tonight. And we pray that this study that we'll complete tonight, that it'll speak to our hearts and help us to apply it to our hearts and lives every day. We have to choose to do that. We pray that we will. We love You tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So how should our joy be demonstrated? Well, first off, in our composition, or that is in our music. And the Word of God has a lot to say about music and joy. And I'm going to read a number of passages for you tonight. In 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 40, it says, and all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 6, it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. Psalm 67 and verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Isaiah 16 and verse 10, and gladness is taken away and joy out of the plentiful field. In the vineyards there shall be no singing. God says, when I pull that out, when I take away the joy, I'm going to take away the singing as well. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 3, the mirth of tabrets ceased, the noise of them that rejoiceth ended, the joy of the harp ceaseth. Again, there's a tie between music and joy. That's mentioned a number of times in the book of Isaiah. I won't read all of those to you. But Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Now, God clearly connects the music that we have and our joy together. In Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 9, "Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem." Does your music reflect the joy of the Lord? Does your singing reflect the joy of the Lord? Now, let's go to meddling a little bit tonight, okay? I could tell you, show me a person that refuses to sing, and I'll show you a person that's got a spiritual issue. And you say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, that's why God put the passages in there, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." We're going to get to those here in just a minute, all right? I understand there's times when we're sick, and you may, I understand those, okay? We know what we're talking about. But I'm talking about a general attitude. If you're not willing to sing, it's a reflection of something going on in your heart, because God clearly ties together that which He has given us in joy and a song that comes out of our heart. Not only that, but, you know, this thing right here should be able to communicate something too. I'm amazed at some of the songs. We've sang some of these songs so many times that we've really forgotten the truth of them. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You shouldn't sing that song. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved." I mean, you're not supposed to sing it that way, right? We are to have something that's coming out of us. Did you like that solo? Some of you wanted an encore from Wednesday night. That's about as close as you're going to get. Pastor Bruce not here tonight, so he made me sing in a quartet Wednesday night, by the way. It's coming again, you think so? By the way, we're not specifically talking about this, but does your style of music that you use in your home and in your car reflect the joy of the Lord? Does it communicate what God has done in your life? It should. It should. So not only should our music be, our joy should be communicated in our music, but in our conversation, that is in the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves. Now, many of these passages are also going to be connected to our music. You're going to see that. But let me read some for you. Psalms 32 and verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalms 35 and verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." Psalms 42 and verse 4. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holy day." Psalm 63 and verse 5. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Psalm 66 and verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." Psalms 81 and verse 1. "To the chief musician, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." Psalms 89, 15, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Psalms 95 and verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalms 95 and verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalms 96 and verse 12. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. God says even nature itself is going to proclaim God's glory. And certainly spring is that way, isn't it? Well, I got two Bradford pear trees in my front yard, and they are loaded with white flowers. It is absolutely beautiful right now. Psalms 98 and verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalms 98 and verse 6. With trumpets and with the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 14. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Now you can see here that God is clearly telling us that both in our song and in our speech, we're to communicate the joy of the Lord that's supposed to be found in our heart. But it also can be seen in our companions, specifically in our relationship with our husband and wife. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Some of you say, oh, I don't have one of those yet. Well, it's probably coming. But your marriage relationship and the joy that you find in each other is communicating the changed life principle that God has done for us. At least it should be. Sadly today in our world, Christians aren't communicating that. But we should be. It should be communicated in our children, both spiritual children and in our literal children. Proverbs 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Boy, isn't that true? And God gives us children that walk after him. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 3. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy, the joy of you all. My joy is in you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 and verse 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, Paul says to his young preacher boy Timothy. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And these things write I unto you, that your joy may be full. As people that we have opportunity to impact, spiritual children, and yes, even our own children, is it not a joy to see them taking steps? God is just working in their lives. I tell you, I'm excited about some of the new converts that God has given us here. Just interacting with them. Jonathan has been back now. He's only missed one Sunday since Revival Sunday. And he told me the only reason he missed is because he was sick that morning. But he's coming. Thank you for treating him well, by the way. And he's growing. It's nice to see him grabbing some scripture, and he's beginning to ask questions and all that. Last Sunday, he said to me, okay, what's the difference between your morning mass and your evening mass? You know, he was saved out of a Catholic background. He goes, you're just going to preach the same thing tonight, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, oh, okay. Now, this is all new to them as they're growing and allowing the Word of God to take hold of them. Joe told me last week, Joe and Mary, of course, are growing in the Lord as well. And Joe said, you know what? He said, what I'm reading at home, I'm starting to hear at church. He said, things are starting to come together. That's exciting. That's thrilling for us to see God working in those people that we've seen come to know Christ. As Brother Paul shared, nothing more joyful than to hear that people are getting saved and moving forward. But that's true on a personal level with our own children. As God gives us opportunity to see them going out and serving the Lord, whether in full-time ministry or not, that's not the point, but whether they're serving God, what a thrill that is. Dan just got here tonight. Sarah's been here all day. Pastor John's here, by the way. This is Pastor John Godfrey. Those of you that are way back, remember him. Well, I won't say what some people said. Wet behind the ears college student, right, Brother John? But they were members here. They're serving together. You know what? That's a thrill for me to see our children serving the Lord. And that's a joy. God says it should be that way. But also, the Bible says that our joy should be as a covering. In other words, our joy should be what we're known for. Isaiah 3 and verse 9. The show of thy countenance doth witness against thee. We've already used that verse already. Psalm 68 and verse 3. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. In other words, those who are righteous should be characterized by joy. That's what the Word of God says. Psalm 70 and verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness as a bridegroom decked herself with ornaments and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. God has adorned us with those things. And he says, we are to be joyful because of it. Now, wouldn't you think it's strange to see a bride and groom on their wedding day look like a bunch of sourpusses? I mean, doesn't that bother you? Matter of fact, it's interesting. When we go to a wedding, my wife looks at the bride. She can't wait to see when she steps through that door. I look at the guy. I like to see his face. You say, well, how do you know when the bride comes in? I'll know. And if I don't, there's a problem, okay? But so far, matter of fact, I told the guys who are marrying my girls, look, if you don't look happy to get her, I ain't giving her to you. All right? I mean, you know, this is hard enough as it is, but if you don't look like you want her, then we'll go somewhere else, you know? But you see those, you can feel those doors almost open up and this guy's face lights up and it's like, oh, she's there. That's the description that God gives for us. As he clothed us with righteousness, we're his bridegroom, we are to be joyful. We are not to say when they step in the door, oh man, I can't believe that's what's coming down the aisle. I mean, wouldn't that bother us? Well, sure it would. And what if they stood there like, I mean, isn't that the way some of us sit sometimes? I'm not sure a stick of dynamite will move us, you know. We are to be joyful. It ought to be a clothing that we have. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's an evident token of God's grace in our life. In Philemon verse 7 it says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Great joy. So it ought to be something that we're clothed with, that people can obviously see something's different about that person. God's made a difference in their life. But I love this. There's joy in the celestial world, and specifically the Bible tells us in Luke 15 and verse 7, in Luke 15 and verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In other words, when someone gets saved, heaven's celebrating. That probably ought to give us an indication of what we ought to be doing when people get saved. Next question we could ask ourselves is, how is the lack of joy shown in our lives? In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45, God is talking about all the curses coming upon the children of Israel. They disobeyed him. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 47, he says, because thou servest not the God, the Lord thy God, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all these things. In other words, God says, part of the reason why I am judging you is because you did not serve me with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. That's a pretty staggering verse when you think about it. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 15 says, all that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Is this who this is? Psst. Wagging their head. Oh, this is who they claim to be, the perfection? This is God's people that's supposed to be the joy of the whole earth? I wonder sometimes if people don't do that to us. Oh, you think God's made a difference in your life? Really? Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 15 says, the joy of our heart is ceased, and our dancing is turned into mourning. It's shown by the condemnation in our lives. But it's also shown not only by condemnation, but it's shown by contrast. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, the Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In other words, God says, I'm going to take that which is ugly, and I'm going to make it beautiful. I'm going to take that which is mourning, and I'm going to turn it into joy. Contrast. In other words, it's safe for us to say that someone who looks like they're mourning all the time hasn't been changed. That's what it's saying in the Word of God. And by the way, if you don't think this, that they might be called trees of righteousness, we don't have time tonight, but we could take a lengthy study and show you from the Word of God that God clearly talks about us being like trees. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In the book of Matthew, in chapters 5, 6, and 7, in that Sermon on the Mount, he talks about a tree cannot bring forth good fruit and evil fruit. Evil trees bring forth evil fruit. Good trees bring forth good fruit. Throughout Scripture, God refers to us as this, and he's saying, by simple contrast, if we've been changed, we are to have a joyful countenance about us. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. So how is the lack of joy shown? It's shown by our condemnation. It's shown in contrast that God has given to us. How can my joy be affected? How can my joy be affected? I want you to understand tonight that our joy should not ever be affected. But we can allow it to affect us. And in some cases, as a matter of fact, some of these stories we're going to read about tonight, Some of them did not have true joy, but it was rooted in that which was not the Lord, wasn't a true situation, so it could be influenced by a variety of things. But sometimes we allow these things to be influenced in our lives as well. And so let's look at those real quickly. Number one, how can my joy be affected? Well, it can be affected by circumstances. In Esther chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart." All right, what was Haman happy about? Well, he had just been promoted in the kingdom. Life was going absolutely fantastic. It couldn't be any better for him, and he couldn't wait to get home and brag to his wife, his kids, and his friends. But there was a problem. Mordecai was in the king's gates, and ooh, man, it just irked him. Man, it just took him, it took his joy away immediately. Not a very good root of joy, is it? Of course, he plotted to take him out, not knowing he was God's man. He wasn't going to take him out, but eventually would be hung on his own gallows. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 21 says, "He that begatteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy." Circumstances surrounding those people who would reject God, who are children. Boys and girls and teenagers, listen to me, and college students for that matter. Pastor Surrett said this for years, but it is so true. You very much hold the heartstrings of your parents. And the decisions you make will thrill them or will break their heart. And I can tell you, you never stop being a parent. Doesn't happen. They can be grown, they can have kids of their own, but you never stop being a parent. And when they make bad decisions, it breaks your heart. When they make right decisions, it's thrilling. I mean, there's just some exciting things happening when that takes place. Don't allow that to be a heartbreak of your parents. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, "Whatsoever mine eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." Of course, we know that that was a temporal joy that would not last either. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8 says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word again." What was that joy rooted in? The resurrection. He's alive. And that was a powerful truth. In John chapter 16 and verses 20 and through 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." God tells us there's going to be a time when the world's going to celebrate. They're going to, quote unquote, rejoice. But he said, your ultimate rejoicing is coming. And when that comes, no man will be able to take it away from you. Nothing that can be done will be able to be taken away from you. So our joy can be taken away in circumstances. It shouldn't be, but it can be. But number two, our joy can be taken away by crimes. And I use that to keep the C's going here, just in case you've been following. A sin in our life. David says in Psalms 51 and verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David didn't ask for God to restore his salvation. That couldn't change. It didn't matter what David did. Once he's saved, he's going to forever be saved. But he could lose the joy of his salvation. And he had. Why? Because he'd sinned against God. Matter of fact, he describes for us in multiple passages of Scripture the heaviness that was on him, the physical toll that it bore on his body because he was not right with God. And David said, when he finally gets right with God in this Psalms 51 passage, and what does David say? I want back the joy of what it means to know Christ as my Savior. I've known Him. That's not going to change. But I want the joy of that. No matter what, my daddy is not going to disown me. And I'm grateful for that. If you've ever seen my daddy, that's impossible anyway. Because we look just like each other. I mean, it's impossible. Matter of fact, it's funny to watch people who've never met my dad before. And he comes walking in and they go, oh, we know who you are. Never met him before, but that's just what happens. I'm just doomed with that. Not only that, but he gave me his name too. He didn't even like his name. He gave it to me because he didn't like it. Thanks a lot, Dad. I mean, this was great, you know, but there's nothing that can change that relationship with my dad. But there were times when our relationship wasn't very joyous. I can tell you. Matter of fact, it was real unjoyful around our heart, our house. Good for me. Yes, I didn't necessarily want it at the time, but nothing could change that relationship, but I sure love for that joy to be restored to our relationship. David is asking for that. As we've looked at perhaps hundreds of scriptures about joy, a question comes to mind. How can I get joy? But if I'm supposed to have it and all these other things are about it, how can I get it? Well, it's pretty simple. We find true joy in Christ. That's where it comes from. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Romans 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Psalms 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. 27 times that word happy there is translated blessed. Blessed is that people. In other words, we find true joy in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's nowhere else we can find it. Though we should have joy in our relationship with our children, but that's only going to genuinely be joyful as we find it in Christ. In other words, men, we're not going to be the right kind of dads we need to be unless we're right in Christ. We're to have joy in our relationship with our wives, but that's not going to happen, men, unless we have the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, all these other things are just peripherals. And yes, they have an impact in our study, but ultimately it boils down to, am I going to trust my God? And I'm going to allow the joy of the Lord to flow through me because that's what He's given me. And God never commanded us to do something that we weren't capable of doing. Now, not in our own self, but through Him. Therefore, you can be joyful. You can be joyful when a tire blows out on the side of the road on a rainy Sunday night and you're in your suit. I'm not wishing that on anybody tonight. I'm just saying you can be joyful. You can be joyful when your house gets robbed. This happened to us this past November. You can be joyful in that doctor's visit. It's coming. My wife's cousin, they were born 2 days apart, 3 days, 1 day apart. 1 day between your birthdays. Precious, precious family. 4 children. Just found out her husband has been diagnosed with cancer. No cure. No cure of it. You know what he said? This was neat. This speaks to his character, which is him. He said, I don't know how long I have. I just want to serve the Lord with whatever time I have left. You know, the world doesn't understand that, folks. They don't understand that. But we can have that. And I'm convinced that a joyful disposition is very attractive. It allows people to look at us and go, well, wait a minute. How can that happen? That's why just recently our young people delivered a basket to the hospice house here in Kings Mountain. And they could walk in the door and the nurses there said, you kids must be from Emmanuel Baptist Church. Because they watched our church family go through the death of someone there. And it made an impact on them. The world doesn't understand that. Joyful. So tonight, will you choose to be joyful no matter what happens? Can we really trust God? Does he really know best? Brother Paul was telling me $13,000 the last year in trailer repairs and truck repairs. Does God really know best? Yep, he does. It's his money. God can do whatever he wants with it. It's not a sweat to him. Might be a sweat to us sometimes, but it's not a sweat to our God. And we can choose that in every situation. From the little bitty things, we wake up in the morning and step on that toy, and it's starting out the day not good. Those are little things, but we can choose that, can't we? Right then, we can choose. What are we going to choose today? Or an event happened, like happened in our cousin's life this week. I said to my wife, nobody expects that to happen. He went to the dentist, had a little cyst that they drained, and it came back, and they drained it, and it came back, and they said, something's not right here. Let's check that out. From all practical purposes, he has a death sentence. But he's choosing to be joyful. That's what we have to do. And we can. By having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us. And he'll produce that as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Choose joy. Father, thank you for your word. For the many passages of Scripture over the last couple of weeks that we've looked at that has to do with joy. Lord, I know that I do not always choose joy in these circumstances that I find myself in. But I want to. Lord, I pray that you would help us as your people, no matter what takes place, we would choose joy. You've commanded us to do so. We can develop it as a relationship with Christ, as the Spirit of God takes root in our hearts and lives. May we choose that tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to take you, just give you a few minutes here as we meditate on what God has taught us the last couple of weeks. Before we sing or play or anything, would you just take a few moments right there in your chair to say, God, I am going to choose joy. Not because it's popular, not because I necessarily want to all the time, but because you told me to, and because I want to be right with you, I'm going to choose joy. Would you do that? Perhaps you'd kneel at your chair, whatever. Would you just take a few moments to commit that to God tonight?